Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
I've got a lot of people, you know, trying to touch base with me, and a lot of people trying to educate me on the ins and outs, you know, on how to help me help myself find mom. It's a whole different world I'm living in right now. So my head is spinning. Someone somewhere knows something. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. But no, they have no suspects. They have no persons of interest.
I don't think that she's still alive. The thing that really makes me afraid is that there are so many places down there to dispose of someone. A lake area, and it's very rural, very wooded, and there's so many different coves and little pockets of water and places that you can dump her in the middle of the lake. We would never find her again. And it's just terrifying to know that we may never know what actually happened to her.
47-year-old Echo Lloyd last spoke with her daughter Kelsey on May 9th, 2020, the day before Mother's Day. Kelsey stopped by Echo's Edwards, Missouri home the next day to drop off flowers and a card for Mother's Day. Echo wasn't there and her car wasn't in the driveway, so Kelsey left the items outside for her mom when she returned home. Over the next several days, Kelsey kept trying to reach Echo, but her calls kept going straight to voicemail. Her concerns began to grow, and by the 15th, she made the trip back to Echo's home. Kelsey found the car was in the driveway, but there was no trace of Echo. She began searching everywhere and found that Echo's purse was there along with her ID and some money, but her cell phone, keys, and medications were all missing along with Echo. Since that time, suspicions have focused on one person who lived near Echo's home and had taken an unhealthy interest in her since she had moved to Edwards. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 265 of The Vanished, Echo Lloyd's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. While conducting interviews for this story, everyone had such wonderful things to say about Echo, that she was kind, bubbly, and always willing to help. She was an important person to so many. One person we spoke to was Echo's cousin Mary, who told us about Echo's life.
We grew up in Pleasant Hill, Missouri, very small town, and my mom and Echo's mom are sisters, and we grew up together. We did all the family stuff together, all the holidays, and so Echo has always been a part of my life, always. She was always a very fun, outgoing person, very popular in school, had lots and lots of friends. In fact, some of the people who have been most instrumental in her search efforts are some of those friends from school that have just become her lifelong friend group. And she's got some really great people who really care about her. And, you know, I always just remember her as being very courageous, not afraid to do things that I thought were scary, and just how much fun she was. She just was always a very happy, outgoing, fun person to be around. She rode horses. They lived on a farm. They had horses. And she played sports. one of the things that will always be one of my best memories is that she, and this was later in life when she was an adult, but she and her friends put on a scavenger hunt every year for, oh gosh, a long time. For years, they put on this scavenger hunt, and it was so much fun. They put so much work into it, but it was so, so fun. And they did it just for entertainment because everybody else had a good time doing it. Even though it was a lot of work for them, there would be huge groups of people come out and do this scavenger hunt every year.
We also spoke to Echo's daughter, Kelsey, and she spoke about her mom from a daughter's perspective.
She's the life of the party is how I love to explain her, you know, very bubbly personality, typically always happy, go lucky, everybody's friend. I really don't know one person who doesn't like my mom. You know, she's just so kind and giving no matter what. I mean, just to anybody, to everybody. She didn't think there are people out there that have a bad bone in their body. You know, she'd always think that she could pull the good out of people. So kind that she was naive. She wants to make the rest of the world happy all the time. I have three siblings with my mom. My mom has two girls and a son. It's me, Case, Caitlin, and Kylie. She's got three grandkids also. My mom and my dad split up when I was 3 months old. My stepdad and her were separated, though. So I'm the only one with my dad. She did have different jobs here and there. A lot of times she was a stay-at-home mom. But every once in a while, she'd want to go out and get a job. And so she'd go and get a job. And then she'd come back home and she'd do projects at home. Sometimes she'd take in rescues, you know, strays. So we'd have rescues running around the house all the time.
Kelsey told us more about the relationship between her mom and stepfather, Tony.
Growing up with my stepdad, I mean, he was a great father, you know, very quiet, you know, man, but a good man. Loved my mom to death. We never saw them fight. They never fought in front of us. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they didn't have their differences. Obviously, they did. They ended up, you know, separating. He really has always been a good guy. Took care of his family. Still does. Still was taking care of mom, even though they were separated. Wanted to make sure she was taken care of. I mean, ultimately, you know, he wanted her to come home, but he was letting her live her life. They didn't hate each other. They loved each other. There were just some major things that they weren't able to get on the same path, should I say. And, you know, that's why they just decided to kind of stay separated. But they did love each other very much. I mean, you could tell they were still in love with one another. But he's very funny. And like I said, he's a hardworking man, a very hardworking man.
Echo was an artsy person who enjoyed spending her free time doing projects around her home.
She had projects. That's what she called them. She did projects all the time. Different projects on the house. She was very artsy. So she's an artist. And so everything she did and everything she touched had this artistic twist. She'd always want to, let's say, rearrange the house or do home improvements. And she'd be doing different projects all the time. And that's kind of what she did, you know, other than raising the kids. Her hobbies was that fishing. She loved to fish. She enjoys going out on the paddle boat. That's one reason, you know, she moved here was she loved the lake. She loved the lake life and really enjoyed that. A lot of times she was doing her projects at home, her artsy fartsy projects. And she's an extrovert. But at the same time, like, she was going through this separation when she moved down here. She wanted to prove more to herself than anybody else. You know, she could do life on her own. You know, her kids are basically all grown up. You know, she was going off on her own and she wanted to show that she could do the damn thing.
We also spoke to one of Echo's close friends, Dana. She told us how they met and what their friendship was like.
Oh, gosh. It had to have been about 2002, I believe. She's actually cousins with my now ex-husband. Echo was always just so much fun. She had a great personality. She was outgoing. She loved to laugh. Her and I became really close. A lot of our group of friends, they all went to school together and they known each other forever. You know, they kind of took me in. I was always the younger one, but they took me in and we were all so very close. We used to do girls trips at the lake and then we'd do with our husbands, we'd have like Christmas parties and we were all just really close. And then Echo and I were actually golf partners in a ladies golf league in Pleasant Hill.
Dana told us that years before her disappearance, Echo was raped by an acquaintance, and that this trauma changed the course of Echo's life.
She had a really hard time 10 years ago with what had happened to her. So she got to where she didn't like big crowds and stuff like that. She had a sexual assault 10 years ago. And, you know, I didn't really push the issue, and I start asking about it, you know, now. And it's like, I just don't feel like she didn't do counseling. You know, I don't think she ever really, I guess she did some, she called and did a few counseling sessions, but I don't think she probably got, I mean, we couldn't even see her for a while afterwards.
Echo's cousin Mary explained more about how this trauma affected Echo and her relationships.
Her relationship with Tony was very complicated. And mostly that was just because she was very complicated. She had a lot of things happen to her, Echo did. I don't want to get into a lot of details, but when you experience trauma in your life, everyone handles it differently. And the things that you need from your partner to be able to heal from trauma are different. And so I think they were still working through that and trying to figure out what each person needed from the other and how they could move on to the next part of their life. I don't necessarily know that they would have gotten divorced. They were separated. They did not live together. But I have not suspected Tony at all in her disappearance. I really do believe that he loved her. And I believe that he was just waiting for her to sort of figure some things out and come back to him.
Echo was living on a 10-acre property in Edwards, Missouri. And as Mother's Day 2020 was approaching, Kelsey had been in contact with her mom over the phone. Kelsey told us more about the lead-up to her mom's disappearance.
She called me on the 9th, so I'm not sure if she disappeared. I don't know if it was on the 10th. I don't know if it was, you know, basically the 11th through the 15th. I just know she had been missing sometime on by the 15th or before. I believe she was missing a couple days before. But I spoke with her on the 9th of May in the evening. Earlier that afternoon, two of her best friends went by the house to check on her. And they brought me a card for both my boys. And she called me that evening to make sure that the boys got their card and let me know that her cell phone was, her iPhone was doing, oh, the weird thing where it was sending text, but it was only doing it iPhone to iPhone, like through your email. Somehow it got messed up that way. So she wanted to make sure my youngest sister had gotten her text message and asked me to get in touch with her to make sure. And, you know, told me she loved me and that she'd call me soon. And come Sunday, I did not try to call mom because I didn't want her to, you know, tell me everything was okay. She'd been telling me for the most part, like giving me reasons she didn't want me to come over. You know, the house was dirty, different things. So I went ahead and I went by her house. It was in the afternoon, evening. I can't remember if it was like 3:30 or 4:30. I'm sorry. I left a pot of flowers and a card, and I wrote a note on the back, told her to give me a call as soon as she got home. Happy Mother's Day. You know how blessed I was to have her as a mom. Never got a call. I tried to call her Monday morning. The house phone and her cell phone both were going to voicemail immediately. I called her again in the evening, and I did that every day.
When Kelsey drove to her mom's house on Mother's Day, Echo's car was not there and the house was locked up. At first, she figured that her mom had just gone out somewhere. But as the days wore on without hearing from Echo, her concerns began to grow. On May 15th, Kelsey returned to her mom's home in Edwards. This time, the car was in the driveway and locked. Kelsey went up to the house to see if her mom was inside.
I knew I was going to go check on her. Went to her house. I banged on all the windows. You know, I went to her window first because it was morning time. She's a night owl. Normally, I'll knock on her window because I know she's asleep and if the air conditioner is going. And I honestly can't remember if the air conditioner was going or not. I think it was. No answers from that. I went around the whole house. I went by her shed.
After Kelsey couldn't locate her mom, her thoughts immediately went to one of Echo's neighbors. This person came into Echo's life shortly after she moved to the Edwards property and seemed to take over her life. Kelsey told us more.
The neighbor, he stole one of mom's phones. So he had taken over. Mom had two phones out here. She had a T-Mobile phone, and then she also had a Verizon phone. And she had the Verizon phone because out here you get really bad service. So T-Mobile's horrible.
So she had bought a prepaid, you know, just Verizon phone or whatever. And I set it up for her. So she was staying down here at her lake property. Anyways, he somehow talked her into basically letting him borrow this phone, because all he was using to contact mom was his house phone, which is weird, right? You're a grown 34, 35 year old man. You don't have a cell phone of your own. Didn't think about that at that time. So he ended up getting his hands on mom's phone.
The day before Kelsey went to her mom's house again on the 15th, she contacted the neighbor on Echo's phone that he had in his possession. Kelsey told us how that conversation went.
So I text that phone and I was like, does mom have a phone yet? Or does she still without a phone? He said he wasn't there at the time, that he would have her call me when he got to the house. So he promised that call and said, oh, I'm sorry, we missed you on Sunday. We were at Walmart. And I said, you know, are you with her, demanding to speak with her? He said he wasn't around her at the time. He'd have her call me when he got back that evening, and still no call. So I text him first thing Friday morning and I said, where the hell is she at? And why haven't I gotten a call? I haven't seen her yet. I'll have her call you here in just a little bit. And I, you know, basically said, no need. I'm going to go check on her. So he knew I was going to go check on her.
Over the period of time that Echo knew the neighbor, he began spending a lot of time at her home, even when Echo didn't want him there. This made her and others uncomfortable. Kelsey believes that their relationship was strictly platonic, but he seemed to gain control over Echo, her home, and even finances. After Kelsey went to the house on the 15th and couldn't find Echo, she went over to confront the neighbor at his home.
I went down to his house. I banged on the door and demanded someone to answer, and I wasn't going to leave until I spoke with somebody or I saw my mom or spoke with her. I was told that supposedly she had taken the keys from him the day before. She wanted to be alone because I asked for the keys because I told him I was breaking into her house. Swerving down, he hadn't seen her. I went back to the house, pretty much immediately went to the window, and I had texted him, you know, if I don't see her here within the hour, I'm going to the police. But yeah, I went through the window and I just walked down the hallway, looked in her room, and I saw her purse under the nightstand. I saw cigarettes on top of the nightstand. I saw a lighter there. They weren't the cigarettes she typically smoked, just like a really cheap version of cigarettes, which I thought was odd because mom typically buys her cigarettes. But like she had told me, he had taken over the money. And I saw her purse. I went through her purse, ID, wallet, cash, all there. No cell phone. I did not find her cell phone at any point in time. Her pistol was missing, her medication, and her keys. I mean, I went back outside. That's when I went back out. You know, I called for mom on the deck, basically on the railing, you know, towards the roof where I knew she could really hear me. He ended up coming back up there after I was on the phone with dispatch, pretending that he was going to help me go look for my mom. Said he was going to go check one area, point, you know, one direction. Well, she might be this way, picking wildflowers. Maybe she's this way at the dump, because they're like people that had dumped stuff at one point in time. Like I said, she's artsy fartsy. So she would like go to this dump pile, find somebody else's trash, and she would like renovate, you know, make it pretty again or make it an art piece, and said that they were going to go check an area, and they didn't.
This situation with the neighbor does seem unusual. Kelsey explained more about how their relationship unfolded.
To me, I could see that mom like just needed a friend. And I think she felt like he needed someone too. And I think that's how he preyed on her. He saw that. I've had enough trauma, should I say, happen in my lifetime. It's like I could see it. And I tried to warn her about him. But I didn't think he would be. I just didn't think about it. But she was just naive. And I think he preyed on her for that. Her being vulnerable. Because like I said, she was in a separation. She was trying to find her own path and find her own way. But you, of course, want a friend. And yeah, she had me, but she wanted a companion, you know, a friend that's not just her daughter. And I mean, you don't really want to tell your daughter everything. I specifically asked, do you have something going on? She told me, she said no. And I 100% believe my mom. I have absolutely no reason not to believe her. I do think she would tell me the truth if there was. She came to my house 2 weeks before she disappeared, scared of this guy. And, you know, I know that he was wanting more from her. That was very obvious. And I think it was, and I want what I can't have. And I think she was ready for him to go when she disappeared. She told him to go. That was it, you know, and she's done. And I think he might have lost it. I would think that she was probably trying to confront him, or he knew that she was trying to get, you know, she was really trying to get him to go. She couldn't get him to leave, which she never could. I don't understand why she kept letting him come back. You know what I mean? I really think he did prey on her. My mom is naive to people. She's so kind. And that's what she was telling me too. When she was here, that when he was sober, he was such a nice person. He could be so kind sometimes, you know, and I was trying to tell her people are who they are. And once they show you your colors, that's their colors. He's not a nice person. He's not kind. You can't change him. I said, you take care of yourself, you and your own. And she wanted to go back and take over her house. So I really believe that that's what she was doing. Enough was enough. And she was done and she wanted him gone and he couldn't handle it. And then when she had come over again, you know, she told me that he had taken over the phone. He didn't show her any pictures of my son when he was born. He told her that he had him, but he wouldn't show him to her. Wouldn't let her text me back. That's what really threw me off is that, you know, she came over. She told me, we spoke for 3 hours about what was going on. And then she just went, I'm calm now, Kelsey. I'm going to go home. And I don't know if she did it to protect me or what, but she was, I'm calm now. It's my house. I'm taking my house back. It's okay. You know, and I'm like, are you sure? You know, I really didn't want her to go. And then I made sure she had her pistol on her. And he didn't show her the text messages or nothing. So the 2 weeks before, I knew that she didn't have access to that phone. And then she started calling me off the house phone and let me know that the T-Mobile phone was messed up. But she didn't really say anything about that until the 9th.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. When Kelsey alerted the police on May 15th, she was in a panic. She was worried that Echo could have been harmed by the neighbor, or that he could have been holding her hostage at his house. When the police arrived, the neighbor went home. Kelsey told us what happened next.
When he disappeared from the house, whenever I left 6 hours into the investigation, they were down there questioning neighbors. Where was he? I don't know. Now, I do know that it took them knocking on the door and trying to get him to come to the door for him to come to the door. And he told them he was taking a nap. So why is it that the one person who's my mom's friend around here, you know she's missing and I can't find her, and you went home and you took a fucking nap? What were you doing, truthfully, with that time? But they gave him 6 hours because they asked me, they pulled me to the side, you know, it was the calm down sort of thing. And where do you think your mom is? And I said, he fucking has her. I said, he's got her in his basement. He's got her somewhere, or he's done something with her. You need to fucking go down there right now. And I wasn't so nice about it. And they just wanted me to calm down. Well, you don't know if that's what happened. And I said, bullshit. I know that's exactly what's happened. He's done something to her. And that was like an hour or two into the investigation. And so he had time
We know that Echo had two phones. She had a T-Mobile phone that was on an account with her husband, even though they were separated. But she couldn't use it much because the service was poor in the area where she lived. So she had purchased a Verizon prepaid phone. As far as Kelsey is aware, the T-Mobile phone is missing. The Verizon phone is the one that the neighbor had in his possession. When Kelsey first went to confront the neighbor, she found the phone outside of his house, and things got even more strange.
The day I went looking for Mom, I surely did find it in his driveway when I was looking for Mom. I somehow didn't run over it. While I picked it up, he ran from the front door and snatched it out of my hands. We got in an argument over whose phone it was. He sprinted from the front door and snatched it out of my hands, got in my face, and we got in an argument over the phone.
Kelsey mentioned that when she went into Echo's home on the 15th, her gun was missing. Mary told us how and where the gun was later recovered.
When they did their initial search for her, they found her gun on her property. I'm not sure how far away from her house, but it wasn't near, like, it wasn't like, you know, up in her yard. It was like out in her property by her house. She has 10 acres of land. There's a small clearing where her house is, and then the rest of it is wooded. And so they found her pistol in the woods on her property.
The police have told the family that they don't believe something happened to Echo in her home or on her property, but her family believes that it's a possibility. Mary told us that the state that Echo's home was in was concerning to those who knew her.
The police seem to think that she didn't disappear from her house, although I don't know what leads them to believe that.
They decided that it didn't look like there had been a struggle in the house. Although I have to say that I'm not sure this is one of those things that I heavily disagree with law enforcement on, because even if she left of her own free will, we could potentially have gotten a clue as to where she, you know, what direction she went in, if anybody else was with her, whatever. But her house was in a state of disarray that may not have looked abnormal to them, but was certainly abnormal to Echo. It was dirty. There was stuff lying about that she would never have, under normal circumstances, allowed for. She was a very clean, OCD type person. And other than, you know, maybe clothes thrown around her bedroom because she couldn't figure out what she wanted to wear or whatever, you know what I mean? But her kitchen was dirty. There was food molded in dishes and cans, and that's not how she lived. To us, those who know her, her house did not look like she had just walked out the door and never come back. It looked like something had been going on there for a while. We don't know if that means that somebody was there with her and eventually that person got her away from the house, and that's when something happened to her. We have speculation. We have ideas of what we think happened, but we just know that it was not in a normal state for how Echo lived. They have repeatedly taken things like that and sort of ignored them. That we have found some instances where they have promised us follow-up on things, and we found out later that we're pretty sure they didn't follow up on it.
When Kelsey first went into Echo's home on the 15th, one thing she noticed was that her medications were missing. A strange thing happened when the neighbor's grandfather passed away in the weeks following Echo's disappearance.
His grandfather passed away 2 weeks after Mom disappeared. His grandfather was the only other person who knew my mom. He was sweet on my mom. He passed away in June of a broken back. I'll just leave that there. A neighbor found him 3 days after in his home, and he died on the fourth day in the hospital. They were going through the house. They did find my mom's medications in his basement. They handed them immediately to police. I don't know about the count. I don't know anything like that. Circumstantial, because my mom would go down to his house. You know, she'd make his grandfather dinner. He would make her pies, things like that. He didn't have a companion. So Larry, you know, his grandfather was sweet on my mom and stuff. And so her just going over there, my mom never left her medications anywhere. Mom had her shit put up, all of it, all her medications. You know, my mom had, you know, full hysterectomy. She was on estrogen. She had to have that. Her antidepressant, she had just been on them for so long that she was physically dependent upon that. But she did, you know, she had ADHD medication, something I think that somebody would want, and anxiety medication. There were multiple items of my mother's that were found in that basement.
The family has also heard from other women who had previously been in relationships with the neighbor, and they described him as abusive and explosive. They were still in fear of him. It's hard to pinpoint what day or time Echo actually disappeared. We know that she spoke to Kelsey on the 9th. Then Echo and her car weren't at the house when Kelsey stopped over the next day, which was Mother's Day. Kelsey kept calling her mom and then drove back over on the 15th and found the car was in the driveway with no sign of Echo. She also found that the plant she left for her mom was outside, but it had been moved, and the card she left for Echo was inside on her dresser. Mary told us about some sightings of Echo on Mother's Day weekend that might help narrow down the timeline of when Echo actually went missing.
So she was last officially seen on Mother's Day, May 10th. She went to Walmart. They know that because there was a receipt in her house with her handwriting on it. So obviously she got to Walmart, she purchased whatever she needed to purchase, and she got home. She was seen at a Dollar General. There is still some debate on if it was just one. We have confirmation from a store clerk at the Warsaw Dollar General that she was seen there. But the official police statement said that she was seen at the Climax Springs Dollar General. And we are currently trying to confirm if she was seen at both places or if the police maybe misspoke about the location of the Dollar General.
A clerk at one of the Dollar General locations contacted the family and explained that they had a vivid memory of interacting with Echo, and they were certain it was on Mother's Day because the woman the clerk believed to be Echo was trying to buy a cell phone and a prepaid cell phone card, and she said that she needed to buy these items since it was Mother's Day and she wanted to call her kids, but her check kept getting declined. She mentioned that someone had drained her account or taken her money, and that was why it wasn't going through. The clerk offered to let her use the store phone to make a call. The clerk didn't see the vehicle that Echo was in, but their supervisor mentioned that while Echo was alone in the store, she mentioned that people were waiting for her outside. The clerk described Echo as rushed and scatterbrained during her visit to the store that day. Mary told us more about the Dollar General sightings.
There's one situation where we know they didn't follow up on it, and it's a pretty big deal. One of her last sightings was at a Dollar General, and they spoke to the manager, who wasn't even part of the transaction, but they never spoke to the clerk who checked her out that day. And we know this because we've spoken to that woman, and she says she's never been contacted by law enforcement. So basically what she said was that Echo seemed off, like she was in a hurry to get back to the car. She had a check that did not go through, so she was trying to buy a phone. This is one of the really big question marks, and the fact that the police haven't followed up with it is one of the things that just really grates on me, because this could be a huge clue. Who was she with at the Dollar General? Who was in the car waiting for her? Why didn't the check go through? Did the check not go through because her account had been closed or because there wasn't enough money in the account? I know from experience that most of the time that check reader only checks to see if your account is open. It doesn't see if there's enough money to cover the check. That's how people end up with insufficient funds for their checks, right? And so it doesn't make any sense to us why the check didn't go through. And we can't get any explanation for that. And the fact that the clerk who knew her checked her out several times before, Echo was frequently in that Dollar General, thought she was acting funny, acted like she needed to get back to the car. There are some things there that we would like to know have been followed up on. But when this woman tells us that police never followed up with her, never questioned her one time, this is a concern for us.
During the early stages of the investigation, Echo's family was told by law enforcement not to go public about her disappearance. For a long time, they went along with that, but frustrations began to mount as no new information was being uncovered. Kelsey eventually made the decision to begin talking about her mom publicly.
So the reason I haven't spoken about this guy and the reason I haven't released his name is I have been scared into not speaking about him. I got in trouble because I was told I wasn't allowed to put my mom on Facebook looking for her. I wasn't allowed to put her on Facebook. I wasn't supposed to go to media. I wasn't supposed to go to radio. I wasn't supposed to ask for help. I wasn't supposed to put his name out there. I was jeopardizing the case. I jeopardized the case by mentioning the gun, that I would scare him away. I would scare him into doing something more. And now the whole slander thing, you know, from a professional standpoint, I do have to let you know that since we don't have any suspects or anything, you know, we just don't want you to get in trouble down the road if they do decide. I'm like, it's had me scared into a corner that I've had to just kind of sit back and go, you know what? Excuse my language, but fuck everybody. Here's my story. Screw it. I'm going to talk about it. I felt like, you know, I can't be asking for help from people without telling them her story and the truth of it, and me leaving him out and leaving this huge chunk out. Just how is anyone going to help?
Echo's friend Dana didn't want to stay quiet about this either. She explained why she thinks the police initially asked everyone to keep this hush-hush.
Everything's been hush-hush in the beginning because the sheriff's department was very adamant about us not saying anything. Nothing at all. And there are a lot of people that question that. And it's like, supposedly, you know, I'd heard the neighbor was kind of tripping up on his stories and stuff like that. And to me, it almost sounded like they knew it was him. They were waiting for him to trip up, or almost like instead of going and doing their job, it was, well, let's just keep an eye on him. He'll screw up eventually kind of thing. So don't say anything so he doesn't know we're onto him. That's how it felt. I'm the friend that is very blunt, outspoken, and I don't like to sit on information. You know, I'm very passionate about what I care about. I just don't agree with sitting back and, in this case, thinking the police are doing their jobs correctly. Like, when nothing's being done, dogs were not called out there. I mean, there's just so much that I feel it was not handled correctly. And I'm not the type to just sit back and hope that somebody's doing their job. They have no connection to her, the police. I personally had started questioning the sheriff's department down there. They're a small, very small department.
Since Kelsey decided to start speaking publicly about her mom's case, her story has begun to get a lot of attention. With a lot of attention comes good and bad. Mary told us that while many have been supportive, they have also seen the ugly side of online sleuthing communities.
We have an official Facebook page, but then there's this offshoot page that I personally have been blocked from because I can't keep my mouth shut. They spew all this nonsense, and we haven't been allowed to give the details that would explain to them why they're so off base. And it's been very frustrating because it makes us look suspicious. I know people have questioned Kelsey's motives and her actions and stuff like that. I guarantee you that that girl had nothing to do with it, and that she has been nothing but her mother's advocate since this all started. And to see people try to nitpick her and tear her down is just so infuriating, because is she perfect? No, she's a human being. None of us are perfect. So she makes mistakes. She says things that she shouldn't say. She gets emotional and passionate, but she hasn't done anything wrong. And she certainly didn't have anything to do with her mom going missing. All she's tried to do was raise awareness and try to get someone to talk.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. Despite the family's suspicions about Echo's neighbor, the police department has told them they have no suspects in her case. Here's Kelsey again.
I mean, with the police, there's no suspects. There are no persons of interest. And that's a big reason why, you know, I truly, someone somewhere knows something. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. But no, they have no suspects. They have no persons of interest. From what it sounds like, I guess, from what the state trooper tells me, the state highway patrol has taken over, that they don't know, that they don't have, there's no evidence. They have nothing. Everything they have is circumstantial. They've got all the information to her phone, you know, all her cell phone information, the house phone information, any login information they have. So as far as I know, they'd be looking into that, but they're not going to give me that information. They're not going to tell me that. But as far as I know, they've looked into all of that, and obviously nothing's come up so far.
For Echo's cousin Mary, she struggles with the idea that the neighbor isn't considered a person of interest.
So the police come, they take a report, they speak to the neighbor, and the neighbor says he hasn't seen, reiterates that to the police. The next day, friends and family, along with law enforcement, go down and do a search about a 4-mile radius from her house. Find nothing. Neighbors even come to help. People from the community come out to help look for her. There is one person conspicuously missing from this activity, and that is her friend that lives down the road. When asked where he was when they were trying to look for her, he replies that he was taking a nap. Still says to law enforcement that he has not seen or heard from her in several days, doesn't know where she is, you know, has no idea where any of these missing items are, none of that. We have since discovered there is video tape of him at an ATM with her. So now we have him not only acting suspicious and frightening Echo in the weeks leading up to her disappearance, but we have him lying to police and acting suspicious during a time when he should have been there as a friend. You know, if you're really her friend, you're going to help look for her, especially if you're someone who is with her every day. Someone who spends all their time with her, right? You're going to want to know where she's at. And you're going to want to try to figure out where she's gone and try to help find her. If you are an innocent person, in my mind, that is your activity, or that's what would happen. So it seems really strange to me. The police continue to say that there's no evidence of foul play. I don't know if that's a strategy on their part or if they're really just that ignorant. I don't know.
It seems like common sense to me, but common sense is a flower that does not grow in everyone's garden.
But I do believe that there is foul play. I do not believe she left on her own. Again, I have to stress that she would never have left her kids or her grandkids. And did she like to be alone? Yes. She was a very private person and she was going through a lot. And she tended to go off on her own and deal with things, but never without telling people where she was. And how would she have gone somewhere? Her car was still there. It doesn't make sense. His explanation for things that have happened since her disappearance hasn't made any sense. His behavior since her disappearance has been suspicious and not made any sense. I don't know how to look at everything that has happened and dismiss him as a possible suspect. They've searched several times. They have done a forensic audit of her phone records. They have done a forensic audit of her financial record. And there is evidence there that also points to him being involved in her disappearance. So it's hard for me, knowing what I know. I believe people know. I believe people have helped him in either perpetrating this crime or covering it up. We've got some information that we've gleaned from people in the area. And I think people know. I think there are people connected to him that know what happened. First of all, you have to understand that these are not good people. I don't think their conscience and my conscience and your conscience are the same. They don't function the same. So I don't know that they even think he did anything wrong. But additionally, I think when you have someone who helps you cover up a crime, and in doing so has committed a crime themselves, they're not going to be real willing to tattle on themselves. The longer this goes on, we hope that it changes relationships. So loyalties change all the time, right? Someone that you are willing to keep a secret for today may not be someone you're willing to keep a secret for tomorrow. And we're hoping as time passes, and we hope not too much time because this is just so traumatic for everyone. And we really need closure. But we hope as time goes on that these loyalties will be dissolved and someone will finally come forward and tell us what they know and allow us some closure. Even if we never actually find her, if we could just know what happened to her, that would be something.
Since Echo disappeared, her family has not been made aware of any physical evidence that has surfaced that points to any one suspect or suspects in the case. For her daughter, Kelsey, she can't help but focus her suspicions on that neighbor.
Mom talked to everybody. Mom befriended everyone. My mom was kind to everybody, and she was a friend to everyone. And I think you really preyed on that and made her feel like, you know, he really needed somebody too and used her. From what I've learned about him too, he's a very possessive person immediately and, you know, was very taken with her. Couldn't get him away from her.
Echo's cousin Mary weighed in with her thoughts about the relationship between Echo and the neighbor.
She was in her yard and all of a sudden there he was. And she is a very friendly person, very kind. And she was nice to him. And kind of like when you feed a stray dog, they keep coming back. And that's kind of the way I look at him. He was kind of like a stray dog. And I think he got smitten with her and wanted more from her than she was able to give or wanted to give. She wasn't there to be in another relationship. If she wanted to be in a relationship, she would have been in the relationship with her husband because she loved him. She didn't want to be with him because she wasn't in that space in her life to find a new relationship. She was trying to find herself. She was trying to figure out how to heal herself. Was she friends with him? Yes. But that's just because she was a kind person. And I think he took advantage of her kindness and her, I think she was a little bit naive in what he could do, what he was capable of. I think she got in over her head is what I think. He has a history of violence against women that he was in relationships with. He had really gotten scary. By all accounts, she was trying to figure out how to end their relationship, their friendship. And I think when she tried to do that, that something went wrong. That's my personal opinion. There are a few things that lead me to believe that, but I won't go into all of those details. And I think she just believed, you know, she was the kind of person that had a good heart. That is a remarkable thing for someone who has been through the things that she has been through, to still have that generosity of spirit to believe the good in people and not realize that she was endangering herself by being friends with this person. He lived down the road from her. So her house is up a long driveway. And at the end of the driveway where it meets the other road, you can see the house that he lived in. But he did not live there on his own. He lived with his grandfather, who has since passed, and he no longer lives in that house. The family kicked him out. So he lived close to her, but the way that her property was situated and all of the trees, you could not see his house from hers. She had a very wooded lot. She had 10 acres. So he really had no business ever being that close to her house in the first place. So that's a little odd, I think. But, you know, when you're out in the middle of the country, I've lived in the country before and just gone walking around and exploring. Maybe you do stumble upon someone else's house, you know, by accident, and you're like, oh, hi. Didn't realize I was going to see anybody. Maybe you spark a friendship that way, and that's fine. But it didn't stay normal after that. You know what I mean? You and I make friends, and we have boundaries. There is a level of caring in that relationship, right? I think more than he cared about her, he wanted to control her. And I think that he had that attitude towards all women. He wanted to control them. I don't think she wanted to be controlled. Again, she didn't need all that drama from another person. She needed to be able to focus on herself. It's just very sad that he did not give her the space that she needed to be able to do that. And then ultimately may have been responsible for why she's no longer with us.
Echo's friend Dana told us her thoughts on where Echo's case stands today and what kind of resolution she's anticipating.
Of course, my whole thing is I just want to protect Kelsey too. You know, I want answers. I want justice for Echo. I want to know, you know, and there for a long time we thought, you know, maybe she is still alive. Maybe she's hiding or, you know, but I think, you know, it's to the point it's more of a recovery effort now and to get justice with whatever happened. But I want to protect Kelsey. She's been through so much. She's trying to do so much.
While it seems that most people believe the neighbor is involved in Echo's disappearance, other theories have been floated around. Some have wondered about her husband because they were separated, but we know that they had a good relationship and still loved each other. Echo was just trying to work through things on her own. Her family members were told by the police that they have ruled him out as a person of interest. And he's also been completely cooperative with the search efforts for Echo. Another person that has been brought up is the man who raped Echo years earlier. Mary explained why she doesn't believe he was involved.
The only thing I know is that she worked in a bar, and after work one night, one of the patrons of the bar raped her. That's all I know. I have no idea who it was. I don't know why she didn't report it. Knowing the situation, the bar, the people, the town, I can't imagine she didn't know the person. So did the police look into that person? I have no idea. And there isn't any evidence. The fact that she's never prosecuted him, the fact that the only person she really told was her husband and like just a couple of close people. But there's no indication that he was a part of this. First of all, he didn't live near her. He lived hours away from where she went missing. And she wasn't trying to get him in trouble for it. She was just trying to deal with it. So I can't imagine that that would have been a factor.
For Echo's cousin Mary, there's one thing that she's certain about, that Echo would have never made the decision to leave or disappear on her own.
She got married within weeks of graduating from high school, had Kelsey, and that was her role in life, really. Was to be a mom. She ended up having 4 kids and she dearly loved them. And then her kids started having kids similar to mine and she absolutely loved being a grandma and she just adored those babies. So one of the things I know for sure is that she would never have left them. The two youngest were very little. I think Houston was only a month or two old when she disappeared, and she never would have left on her own and left those babies behind. She would never have done it. Her ID was still there. She hasn't filled prescriptions in the time that she has been missing. And we know that she was on medication that she had to have for her health. And so none of that adds up to her being missing on her own.
So what happened to Echo Lloyd around Mother's Day in 2020? We know that Kelsey spoke to her the day before and that Echo was not at her house on Mother's Day when Kelsey stopped by to drop off her gift. But we also know that Echo had been to a Walmart that day, and there were sightings of her at a Dollar General and possibly two Dollar General stores. Although at this time, it hasn't been confirmed if it was one or two. Kelsey was trying to reach her for days before returning to Echo's home on the 15th. She found Echo's car back in the driveway, but Echo was missing along with her keys, phone, and medications. The relationship between Echo and her neighbor was strange, to say the least. He had weaseled his way into her life and taken control. Echo had told Kelsey a couple weeks prior about all of this, and that she was ready for him to go. Is it possible that she confronted him and it went wrong? Was he unable to handle losing the control he had worked hard to gain over her life? Or did something else happen to Echo and everyone is on the wrong track? Echo's family told us that initially, the Benton County Sheriff's Office was handling Echo's case, and that they were very unhappy with how the investigation unfolded. But they are also aware that it is a small, rural department, and believe they likely lack the experiences and resources to solve this case. They also told us that the Missouri Highway Patrol recently took over the case, and they're hopeful that there will be some movement soon. We would have liked to have heard from law enforcement in this case, but the Benton County Sheriff's Office did not respond to our request for an interview and also declined our record request. The Missouri Highway Patrol promised to respond to my record request by December 18, 2020. But as of the date that this was recorded, I have not heard back. They also did not respond to our request for an interview. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Echo Lloyd, you're urged to call the Missouri State Highway Patrol at 573-526-6178. You can also follow developments in Echo's case on Facebook at Bring Echo Home. They are currently offering a reward for information that will lead them to finding Echo.
It's hard to lose a parent at any age. I lost my father as an adult, and it devastated me. But when you're still a kid and your parent hasn't died or had an illness or an accident or whatever, like there's no way of knowing what happened to her. So that just really devastates you. That's been the hardest part about this whole thing, is that we don't know what happened. We have some ideas, we have some theories, and we think they're good ones. They're based on facts that we have, but we don't know for sure. And I think that's the hardest part for everyone, especially for kids. I knew that my father was going to pass away. He was sick for years, battling a terminal illness. And it still devastated me. When your mom disappears off the face of the earth one day, you have no idea where she is, no idea what happened to her. How do you reconcile that? You know, especially as a young person, you're still trying to find yourself. Life is kind of a little bit of a roller coaster at that point in your life anyway, right? How then do you deal with this kind of a devastating loss and all of the unknowns and all of the uncertainties? It's just very hard. That's one of the reasons why Kelsey has kind of become the spokesperson for her siblings. They're just not in a place where they can be as vocal as she is. She's a little older, a little wiser, she's a little stronger. She has endured a lot in her very short life, Kelsey has. And she really feels strongly that she has to be her mama's voice and she has to advocate for her. And the rest of us that are in this group of people who are helping Kelsey, we're just trying to support her. This is very hard for her. She's got two young kids. It's very hard for her. So we are trying to support her in any way that we can. I just feel like it's that one person who finally has the courage, or whatever you call it, to come forward and say, I know this happened, and tell their story. Again, I really feel like he has, kind of like he controlled Echo and just took over her life, I feel like he is controlling some of these other people who know what's happened, and he's preventing them from coming forward.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of episode 265. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Be sure to tune in next week. I'll be covering a case from Texas. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.